Triple Play Thursday. Yeah. Triple Play Thursday gets kicked off with a big jam. If Dan Epstein were still here, he'd be jamming out right now. Patrick picks Van Halen for our first Triple Play Thursday. Yeah. Whoa, hold on a second now. What's going on here? Why didn't that work? Hello? Why? What? Hey. Wait a minute. It should be working. Maybe I try this. Hello? Oh, my God, Dan.
All right, we'll figure it out. You got the three buttons pressed on mic one?
What?
You know how it's got to have, like, three of those buttons at the top?
Hello? Three? No?
All right.
It's usually this button here that I have to press. This? I don't understand.
Just
what's
do the sound effect with your hands. See?
I used to have when we first got into the studio, they didn't have a reverb on the board, and it had to be added. So Aubrey, when I first started using the studio, went across the street to the Walgreens, and he got this little bullhorn thing, and you could press the button, and it made like a weird sort of phalange.
Right.
Sound.
Yes.
And I was using that for the reverb. But this is just not. This is not good. Hello. No, I can't abide by this. Oh, wait a minute. Maybe this will do it. Hello. Hello.
Oh,
there it is.
We got it.
I got it. Okay, I had to.
What'd you do wrong?
I didn't do anything wrong. Someone came in here and messed with it.
What didn't you hit though? Just now.
There was a button on the top of the thing that I had to press that I didn't depress.
Oh, okay.
I don't know why. Somebody playing a trick on me, Dan.
It is Halloween.
It's the ghosts.
Oh, man. I know who it was.
The wind beneath my wing. Yeah.
He did it with his farts last time.
That's exactly.
Blew the button up.
He blew the button out. And...
Wrong switch, Igor.
See? Wrong switch, Igor.
Igor.
It was Igor. So this list that we were talking about the modern day 21st century horror movies actually is a really good list. They covered a lot of it. They have a lot of great stuff on here, and you know sometimes the order is a little bit wrong. Like obviously I wouldn't put 28 Days Later at number one. They do include at number five The Cabin in the Woods, which is a great movie. I don't know if you ever, Esmeralda, have you seen Cabin in the Woods?
I have seen it. It's one of those that I'm not, like, freaked out by.
Well, it's more funny than...
Right.
There's scary stuff in it. There's gross stuff in it.
Yeah.
But it's a satire more than anything
else. Yeah, it's not too bad, though.
Yeah. Well, the last 10 minutes is pretty...
It is, but there's something about... I don't know, maybe because they do jokingly do it, I'm not so like, oh, God.
Yeah. No, the tone of the movie is satirical more than anything else. Dan, have you seen... Cabin in the Woods?
You know, I have not seen it.
Joss Whedon, man.
Yeah, I know.
Drew Goddard directed that, too. That's a great... I think one of the modern classics. I really do. I showed it at my film club 2 years ago. I showed it at my film club 2 years ago for Halloween. And there were a lot of people in the audience who had never seen it, and I wanted to turn people on to it because it didn't do very well at the box office. And I don't think people could make heads nor tails out of it when they saw it. It was like, what the hell is going on? And I still love it. I think it's great. I think it's just great. So that's one that's on the list. Now, Esmeralda, do you have any? Did you watch the Spanish Dracula yet?
Not yet. It's in my bag.
Oh, okay.
I'm still trying to figure out a day because I've just been sleeping. I'm not joking. I slept till like 5 p.m. today or yesterday.
It was, wow.
Yeah, that's a lot.
That's a lot of sleep. Well, I would love to see what you think of it.
But yeah, no, I'm excited.
Especially since you've never seen the Bela Lugosi original Dracula.
Right.
You know, because obviously every time I see the Spanish version of it, for those people who don't know, in 1931 when they made Dracula, when they shot Dracula, the Bela Lugosi original Dracula, at night when they were done, when Todd Browning and his American crew were done, they had a Spanish crew with Spanish actors come in and use the exact same sets. But except they were on the sets, you know, like the times that we work, Esmeralda.
Do they speak Spanish in it?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
okay, cool.
And they shot the Spanish version of it at night, and then they would leave in the morning when the American crew would come back and shoot Dracula. And so they were shot at the same time and released right around the same time as well. And I personally kind of like the Spanish version better. And I know that that's kind of sacrilegious to say because it's the original Dracula, Todd Browning, Bela Lugosi. But I think this, I think the Spanish one is creepier and more interesting and certainly different in the style in which it's acted.
See, now I might wait
to see the
Because I might, I'm planning on going home to visit the fam.
In J-Town?
Yes.
Okay.
I think in a week or two.
Okay.
And it would be interesting to see what my mom
thinks. Oh, yeah.
My
mom and dad. Yeah.
I don't think they've ever heard of this.
Oh, no. Bring it. Yeah. If you want to keep it, keep it.
Especially if it's in Spanish. It's more interesting.
It is so, so cool. Yeah. No, I'd love to hear what your folks think of it. That would be cool. But it's pretty cool, man. And, you know, when Jeff Tuckman was in Friday, we gave away the Legacy Collection of the Dracula with all of the Universal Dracula titles, and included as a bonus is the Spanish version of Dracula in that package. And if you've never seen it, you should seek it out, especially if you're a fan of the Universal movies, especially if you're a fan of the Bela Lugosi original, which obviously is, you know, a phenomenal movie and a groundbreaking movie, and one of those gateway movies. It was a gateway to other horror. That's how I always term the Universal movies. They're the gateway drug to other horror movies. And, you know, when people always ask, oh, what kind of movies can you show kids, you know, show them the old Universal movies. I know a lot of kids are like black and white. They don't even know that black and white ever existed. But, you know, if you bust out the old Universal movies, they're appropriate for any age. They might scare them a little bit, but they're appropriate for any age. And so if you're like having a Halloween party or something for the kids, you can bust that one out and bust those movies out. And everything, you don't have to worry about parents going, you traumatized my child. You know, it's like, hey, kids, we're going to watch Cannibal Holocaust. Yeah, you were talking horror movies. By the way, if you want to join us, we were talking modern day horror movies. You can jump in on that one, and because Dan contributed to that list. But we're going to talk about all, you know, the best horror movies, and I've got a ton of movies that we can talk about, and a ton that I can recommend. Tomorrow is our Spooktacular, where we'll talk all things Halloween and do all of our regular features, including a very spooky Halloween themed Fly Jams Friday. But let's talk horror movies now. What are your favorites? What are the scariest movies you've ever seen? What movies really, really freaked you out that you love, that you want to watch during the Halloween time period? 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200 for your favorite horror movies and movies to watch during Halloween. There's another movie that I recommend if you're interested in, you know, like kids being able to watch them, besides the Universal movies. There was a film that came out in the 80s. Early 80s called Something Wicked This Way Comes. Jonathan Pryce is in it. It's based on a Ray Bradbury story. It's creepy and it's scary, but it's creepy and it's scary in the way that it wouldn't traumatize kids. There's nothing inappropriate in it. There's no violence in it. There's no gore. But it's one of those movies, like if you want to show a you know, kind of a scary movie to freak out the kids a little bit without causing them trauma or having them exposed to, you know, like nudity and blood and gore and stuff like that, that you see in a lot of movies that I like, then Something Wicked This Way Comes, which is also a favorite of Stephen Johnny's. When Stephen Johnny used to do, when I came down to talk yearly, we would do a Halloween thing, and I'd come in and we'd all talk about horror movies. Inevitably, Something Wicked This Way Come would come up. And it wasn't a really hugely popular movie when it came out. It was not a massive box office success. I don't even know if it's out on DVD. Dan, can you check if it's out on DVD? I want to say it came out in 81 or 82. Jonathan Pryce was the creepy star of it. And I don't even know if it's available on DVD. I don't have it on DVD, but it's if it's available, you should. If it's streaming, maybe it's streaming on Netflix or Hulu or one of those places, but it's certainly worth a look. It's really creepy. And again, if you're struggling to find appropriate movies for kids to watch that aren't going to freak them out or aren't full of gore, that's definitely one of them. And I also would recommend for, you know, kids around 10 to 12, the Hammer movies, the Hammer studio horror films, the British movies from the 50s and 60s with the great Peter Cushing, the greatest person ever, my childhood hero. And Peter Cushing and Christopher Lee and those guys, and they did the same characters as the Universal movies did. They took the famous movie monsters, you know, your Frankenstein's monster and Wolfman and Dracula, and they did a completely entirely different take on them. And, you know, I wouldn't say it's recommended for, like, kids between, like, 5 and 9 or something like that, because they get a little bloody and they're, you know, a little bit over the top. But, like, it's, you know, 11, 12 years old can handle it. Of course, I started watching them when I was 2, so it didn't affect me at all.
The DVD for Something Wicked This Way Comes is available.
It is. Okay, Something Wicked This Way Comes. Again, if you're looking for something for, you know, the Halloween party with the kids, again, the first thing I recommend are all the old Universal movies. Turn your kids on to the good stuff, the original stuff first. So, all right, what do you guys think? 312-981-7200. We're talking horror movies, and I also have some great horror movie gimmicks. Gimmicks meaning, like, things that would happen in the theater or special gimmicks to make the movie scarier. So that's all coming up. If you want to join us, 312-981-7200. Oh, could this be love? And I say, could this turn tragic? You know that magic of infants upon the water. Let us say if the women and children cry. Interesting choice from Patrick here. Don't know if I would have picked, if I were doing 3 Van Halen songs, I don't know if I'd pick this one, but it's Triple Play Thursday. Patrick picked Van Halen. 312-981-7200, we're jumping back into, it's Halloween time, and, you know, we had Dan Epstein in here, talked about baseball, talked about the fact that the Cubs are in the World Series and won a game last night. Now we're talking horror movies for Halloween. And I want to hear from you guys. What are your favorites? What movies freak you out? And what are your scary movie go-tos? Here's Steve on WGN. Steve, the limo driver. Hey, Steve.
Oh, hey, good morning. Talking about scary movies, The Grudge, absolutely the scariest movie ever.
Yeah, well, the original Japanese version of The Grudge. I
like the other one, the English one, better. We talked about this before. I did watch both of them, and I like the original or the English one.
The American version. You like the American version better?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
The one with George Costanza's mother-in-law.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yes, and, that's the.
Like 2 years ago we were talking and you said if the Cubs got in the World Series you would get me a ticket.
Did I really say that?
Yeah.
Oh, I did. Okay. Well, let's go back and check the tapes, Dan, because if there's a ticket available, Steve, I'm taking it and I'm not giving it to you.
Oh man.
Yeah.
All right,
Steve. All right, well, take care, buddy.
Yeah, go Cubs and go Grudge.
You got it. All right, The Grudge. See, unfortunately, when the American version of The Grudge came out, it came out at a time when there were, like, every other week there was a PG-13 rated Japanese horror movie remake. And it all started with The Ring, which I'm not a fan. I don't think The Ring is very scary. The only scene in The Ring that's scary, I've talked about this before. The only scene in The Ring that's scary, and it's a terrifying scene, has absolutely nothing to do with the videotape that they're watching. It has nothing to do with the creepy wet girl in her hair climbing out of the well and into the TV or out of the TV or whatever the hell. It's nothing to do with that. It has to do with a horse freaking out on a ferry. I don't know. Dan, have you seen The Ring?
I have not.
Okay.
I have heard you describe this, though, and it's terrifying.
It's terrifying. It's unbelievably scary. Have you seen it, Esmeralda? Have you seen The Ring?
Yeah.
The horse.
Yeah, it's because it's got a crazy people eye.
That's right. You said it's because it's got crazy people
eyes. Because they focus on it, and you can just see he's freaking out.
You know what's interesting, Esmeralda, is, you know, he had mentioned this scene to me well before I knew about his equestrian roots.
God.
So now it takes on a whole new significance as to why it upset you so.
That's probably why it...
Were you dreaming of Thunder Cup?
I was dreaming of Thunder Cup. Yes, that's what I was doing. I was imagining it was my sweet little Thunder Cup who was freaking out on the ferry. It's a very effective scene. It really is. All right, here's Glenn on WGN. Hey, Glenn.
Good morning. How are you doing?
All right, sir.
Yeah, The Ring wasn't bad. I like One Missed Call also. I had that as a ringtone, really.
Okay.
But I remember when my grandson was about 7 years old and we sat down and we watched the original 13 Ghosts.
Oh, that's a fun movie. That's a fun movie, yeah.
It's a fun, but it's suspenseful, and that's what got him. He watched all these horror movies, yet I was looking at him, and he was trying to watch the movie between his fingers.
Yeah.
And you don't need the gore. I think suspense beats everything.
Yeah, no, you know what? I love a good suspenseful movie, you know, without blood and guts. But I happen to also love blood and guts, so I'll take both of them.
Well, yeah, true. I mean, sometimes you get oversaturated with them, but yeah.
All right, thank you, Glenn.
Thank you. Have a nice morning.
You too, buddy. All right. Yeah, 13 Ghosts, the original. If you're gonna watch 13 Ghosts, don't watch the remake. The remake of 13 Ghosts was horrendous.
Is that with Jim Carrey?
No. It was with, I just met him and hung out with him. He was in Scream. The
Matthew Lillard?
Yeah, he's in it. Horrible. Horrible movie. All right. Here's Linda on WGN. Hey, Linda.
Good morning. I heard you talking about horror movies for kids and a Halloween party.
Yeah.
And, oh, God, this must be about a good 15 years ago. I had my granddaughter, and we had a party in that for the kids' Halloween. And we got a hold of some of the old Abbott and Costello, mm-hmm. Bob Hope, and Willie, and there was Chesterfield, and I think Jack Benny was one. Dead End Kids, they're meeting the mummy and all of that.
Yep.
At first, some of the kids kind of just saw, and then they start watching it. And they were laughing, and then you'd see them kind of jump.
Yeah.
Even the little ones, 5 and 6 years old, enjoyed it. Parents that were there that don't remember ever seeing them, their parents saw it, sat down, enjoyed it, and they says, hey, where can we get some of these? Because it was something the kids could watch.
Yeah.
It wasn't all blood and guts.
Right.
And everybody had a good time.
Yeah,
and
that's why I say the Universal movies. All the Abbott and Costello movies came from that same time period as all the Universal movies with Dracula and the Mummy and all those things.
And the Dead End Kids, the kids just love them now.
Yeah.
When if they're older, they watch it.
Yeah.
But I have something to tell you that really happened to me. I watch those haunted ghost stories and stuff on TV at night sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And it must be about 6 years ago or something. I was watching one of these, and it was had these people, and the cover was being pulled off of her and that, and they had these cleaning their house and that. Well, that night I went to bed, and it must have been about 1:30 or 2 in the morning. And about 4, something, my bed was shaking. And that's a horrible feeling. It's like on a wave or something. And I thought, oh, my God, what's happening? And I had a bird, and he starts squawking. What it was is we felt an earthquake from southern Illinois.
Right, I remember that. That was about 9 years ago.
Was it? Well, I'll tell you what. I do not watch these stories anymore.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly.
That was the worst feeling.
Yeah.
It's just something like you talk about being scared.
Yeah.
There's something scaring you. And it was just, I don't know, it was so scary. But one of them that really scared me, too, was The Exorcist.
Yes, The Exorcist is a terrifying movie. Absolutely terrifying. I just showed it a few weeks ago at my film club, and everybody in the theater was freaked out. Linda, thanks for the call. Dan, you were working the night of that earthquake, right? Were you working the night of that earthquake?
Yes, I was.
And because I called you.
Right. That's right.
And I was like, because I was awake, of course. It was like 3 o'clock in the morning. And Heather was away for work. And she was south of the city, way south of the city. And so I was just watching TV. And all of a sudden I felt we lived on the third floor. So we were up. We were in the third floor. And all of a sudden my couch vibrated. I was laying on there. My couch vibrated. And I went, what the hell? You know, so. I got up and I felt the wall because we had a crazy person that lived downstairs from us who liked to crank music and stuff and was nuts. And sometimes, like, maybe I thought maybe it was something like maybe she was cranking the heat and it just got into the walls and it shook. And I was like feeling the wall. I went on the other side of the hallway and looked and I sat back down and then my phone buzzed and it was Heather. And Heather said, my bed was shaking. It woke me up. And I'm like, what are you, Linda Blair? What are you talking about? And then I called you. And you said, because you were on with Steve and Johnny,
right.
The phones went nuts, right?
Oh, it was crazy. And, you know, and it was like every line lit up instantaneously, and then the hotlines lit up. And it's like, oh, my God, what is going on?
Yeah.
And
now, you guys didn't feel it here.
We did not feel it here.
Yeah. I mean, I was in Albany Park on the third floor on my couch, and it was like, and I was like, it vibrated. The couch was vibrating. And I'm like, what the hell is happening? And then like a minute and a half later, my phone buzzes, and it's Heather. And that's why I called you, because I was like, what the hell's going on? And you go, there was an earthquake. And I'm like, oh. Because you were in the middle of, like, getting 8 million calls, and the last idiot you wanted to talk to was me. But okay. No, I can imagine watching a scary movie, a haunted house movie, and then going to bed, and then that happens?
I love how people just call WGN rather than police or something. This is like, we got a call.
Yeah, that's our lifeline, man. If you want to know what's going on in the world, you go to WGN. That's basically what it is. All right, we got a break here. We got the news coming up, and then more horror movies and scary stuff. Linda, thank you for your call. We'll be right back. Yeah, man. Morning, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate studio on the 7th floor of the Trib Tower. We're here till 5 a.m. Cubs won a game in the World Series, and it's hard to believe that sentence has come out of my mouth. We were talking about the Cubs and baseball a little bit earlier with author Dan Epstein, who has written a couple of great books about baseball. He's also a big horror film fan. So we were talking about modern-day horror movies. It is Halloween time, leading up to our 18th annual Nick D Halloween Spooktacular, which happens tomorrow. All of our Friday regular features on Friday are going to be scarier. So there you go. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. We're talking about horror movies and what movies freak you out that you love to watch during Halloween. Scary, scary movies. I do have some Halloween gimmicks that I'd like to talk about. Halloween horror movie gimmicks. And Esmeralda, the movie called My World Dies Screaming from 1958 featured Psycho-Rama. In order to truly become a classic, a horror movie just can't work on the surface. It's got to get deep inside your head. That's what Psycho-Rama tried to achieve when it was first conceived for Terror in the Haunted House. Psycho-Rama introduced audiences to subliminal imagery in order to let the scares sink in more than any traditional. Skulls, snakes, ghoulish faces, and the word death would appear on screen for a fraction of a second, not long enough for an audience to really notice it, but it was enough to make them uneasy. Obviously, Psycho-Rama didn't really catch on with the public or the film industry, but horror directors like William Friedkin and The Exorcist have since used that technique to enhance their own movies.
I don't like it.
They did it in The Exorcist.
No.
Yeah, there were images that were shot in the movie that you can't see, that your human eye can't see. You saw Fight Club, right, Esmeralda?
I did.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about.
Yeah, but that you could see.
No. Not according to, you know, when they showed Tyler Durden chopping in the one picture, the audiences, they don't see it, but they start freaking out. Now, in the movie, in Fight Club, you see it. But the idea is that
you don't.
You don't see it.
Interesting. It's supposed to freak you out.
Yeah, it registers. It's like it registers. It's subliminal imagery. It's a real thing.
I always think, do they ever think, like, we're going to do this and freak people out, but do they ever think, like, what if we freak them out too much?
Yeah. Yeah, well, a guy died of a heart attack during The Exorcist.
Oh, boy.
Guy had a heart attack and died while watching The Exorcist. So, geez. How about this? Fright Insurance. This is a director. William Castle didn't make a name for himself in the film industry for directing cinematic classics. Instead, he relied on shock and schlock to help fill movie theater seats. His movies were full of what audiences craved at the time: horror, gore, terror, suspense, and a heaping helping of camp. But his true genius came from marketing, and the gimmicks he brought to every movie were legendary. His most famous stunt was the life insurance policy that had to be purchased for every member of an audience who paid to see the movie Macabre. This was a real policy backed by Lloyd's of London, so if you died of fright in your seat, your family would receive $1,000. So who wouldn't want to roll the dice on that type of deal? Of course, the policy didn't cover anyone with a pre-existing medical condition or an audience member who committed suicide during the screening. But that was real. Now, this guy, Esmeralda, are you familiar with William Castle at all?
No.
William Castle was this producer, director, who made schlocky horror movies and genre films in the 50s. And he was the king of the gimmicks. Stuff like that, like I just described, the life insurance policy that you'd have to take out. He would have actresses dressed up as nurses who would show up, you know, and be on duty in case someone died or had a heart attack. He would fill the theaters with, like, ghosts that would fly, you know, like ghosts on wires that would fly through the audience. He made a film called The Tingler with Vincent Price. It's called The Tingler, and it was about a monster that would squirm inside into your spine and attack you. And what he did was he'd come in, he and his crew would come in and wire certain seats in the theater with electrical pulses in the back of the seat so it would seem like you were shocked in your spine. So anytime The Tingler would come on screen, somebody in the theater would press a button and a bunch of seats in the theater would suddenly be shocked. This is the kind of stuff that he did.
It's a cool idea.
Yeah. And it was, I mean, he made a name for himself for it. And he had a movie, I can't remember what, I mean, I want to say it was Mr. Sardonicus, where you could pick the ending of the movie. Like, the movie would stop and then, you know, they would stop and on the screen suddenly William Castle would come out. He'd walk on screen and go, "It's terrifying, isn't it? Now you must pick the ending." And then I can't remember how they went about it, but it was always the same ending. You know what I mean? Like, he didn't shoot 20 different endings and pick the, you know, he would just he would just come out and say, "You pick the ending." He did a lot of that stuff. He was legendary for that stuff. And for the punishment poll is from Mr. Sardonicus. Here's what it is. It's on this list. The most interactive of William Castle's schlocky horror gimmicks put the fate of the film into the hands of the audience. Dubbed the punishment poll, Castle devised a way to let viewers vote on the fate of the characters in the movie The Mr. Sardonicus. Upon entering the theater, people were given a card with a picture of a thumb on it that would glow with a special light when it was placed on it. Thumbs down meant Mr. Sardonicus would be given mercy. Thumbs up meant that, and then thumbs down meant you get the idea. Apparently, audiences never gave old Sardonicus the thumbs up, despite Castle's claims that the happier ending was filmed and ready to go. However, no alternate ending ever surfaced, leaving many to doubt his claims. So, now, in the, along this same topic, there was a wonderful movie, and a really great movie to watch at this time of year. It's not a horror film. But there's this wonderful movie that Joe Dante made, one of the greatest American filmmakers ever. And he made a movie called Matinee. And it starred John Goodman and Kathy Moriarty. And John Goodman played a character completely based on William Castle. He was this gimmicky, schlocky producer who would travel from town to town with his crazy show, you know, where he would wire up the theater. We'd have monsters. He would have people dressed up like skeletons running through the theater and scaring people. He would do the gimmicks with the nurses and the life insurance and all that stuff. And John Goodman played essentially William Castle, a version of William Castle. And the movie was about him coming to town, at a town in Florida, during the weekend of the missile crisis, the Cuban Missile Crisis, when everybody thought the world was going to end. And everybody was terrified that, you know, this was the missiles were going to fly and Florida was done for. And so it's a movie about how you can have a cathartic release seeing horror movies and being scared at a time when something really scary is happening in the real world. And it's told through the eyes of these kids, these teenage kids who go to the showing of a movie called Mant, half ant, half man, all terror. So and then you get to see the movie within a movie. And so the black and white movie Mant, you get to see huge chunks of it, of this, you know, this fake movie within the movie. And it's hilarious, by the way. All the Mant footage is hysterically funny. It's about a guy who turns into an ant. And then, you know, John Goodman is there as the producer and Kathy Moriarty is his girlfriend. And she plays, a fake nurse. And they show the behind the scenes working of the showing being really scary. And all of this is happening while these teenage kids are trying to deal with the fact that the Cuban Missile Crisis is happening. It is a wonderful movie, a wonderful, wonderful movie. It's a terrific movie about why people love horror movies. It's also a really great salute to guys like William Castle. Features really great performances by all the kids. And John Goodman, one of my favorite John Goodman roles. If you've never seen Matinee, and not a lot of people have seen it, it's a great, wonderful time capsule piece as well. And it captures the feeling of exactly what we're talking about, all these gimmicks that William Castle used to use. But putting it against the backdrop of something scary and historical in real life was a real genius move. It's a great movie. Great movie. Have you ever heard of it, Esmeralda?
I haven't.
Yeah, it's
great. It looks familiar, though. I saw a poster picture. It looks familiar.
It's a wonderful movie. It really is. And by the way, what's really hilarious is if you get the special edition, I can't remember exactly how much footage, but you can see almost all of Mant, half man, half ant, all terror, because Dante, I guess Dante shot like a 90-minute movie. Like he shot the movie. He shot Mant and then only used a few minutes of it in scenes throughout Matinee.
Is it a man-sized ant?
No, it's a guy with an ant head.
Oh, okay. It'd be sad if it was the other way around.
No, it's a guy with an ant head. At one point, he's walking around going, oh, no, I'm an ant. It's hysterical. It's hysterical. But if you've not seen it, really, this is a nice time to watch this movie, too. It's called Matinee, directed by Joe Dante and starring John Goodman. A real, real hidden treasure. A real undiscovered gem. A great film. All right. We got a break, and we'll get back to more horror movies and gimmicks. And we got a ton of texts coming in, 312-981-7200, and some phone calls as well.
A dinner was served for three at Dracula's house by the sea. The hors d'oeuvres were fine, but I choked on my wine when I learned that the main course was me.
Harold requested The Cool Ghoul, John Zaccarello, with Dinner with Drac, which I have not heard in years. Now, this guy doesn't have three songs.
According to Harold, he does.
He does? He's got three songs? I thought just Dinner with Drac. All right. I'd enjoy Dinner with Drac. All right. So we got some texts coming in. We're talking about scary movies, and we're going to get to the texts in a second, but let's talk with Rich here on WGN. Hey, Rich.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Had a few movies that I thought of while I was on hold, in addition to what I was going to mention. The ones that popped into my mind, one of them was because you mentioned Joe Dante. The Howling was pretty creepy.
Howling is a great movie.
Yeah, some of the lighting and the atmosphere of that movie. And then there was you remember at the end when they were rolling the credits and they just were frying a piece of ham, I think, in a skillet.
Yeah, there's a lot, you know, Joe Dante, who I think is an American treasure, one of the best American filmmakers. Most people, his most popular movie was Gremlins. Not his best. It's a great movie, but it's not. I personally prefer the sequel to Gremlins. I think Gremlins 2, I think Gremlins 2 is a masterpiece.
Yeah.
But he throws in a lot. He's a movie freak, and he throws in a lot of inside jokes in all of his movies, and The Howling is full of them.
Yeah. But it's interesting for as satirically funny as it is. It had some genuinely creepy scenes.
Absolutely, yeah. Great stuff.
Interesting balance. Another one that I was thinking of while I was on hold was The Pilot. That was a TV movie, and I saw it as a little kid, and it's never left my mind. The Pilot to Night Gallery.
Oh, yeah.
Great just classic stories with no gore, just genuine creativity in setting up a feeling of horror.
We were talking about Night Gallery yesterday. We were talking about specific episodes of Night Gallery yesterday.
Oh, no kidding. Yeah. I'll have to get it on the podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Steven Spielberg's first debut in that. One of the movies I did want to mention was, it wasn't a whole movie, but it's probably one of the top horrifying scenes I've ever experienced in any horror film. It was in Open Water. True story, allegedly. When the scene when the it was pitch black, you know, and all they had was the lightning. It was right at the end of the movie when the two of them were just stranded in the water and the sun set. They couldn't see a thing.
Right.
And the water was infested with sharks. And the director just let the darkness happen. There was nothing on the screen except black.
Right.
Yeah. It's just incredible.
Yeah, scary stuff. Yeah, scary stuff. Esmeralda, have you ever seen Open Water?
No, thanks. Oh. That sounds quite frightening. I've heard of it.
It's essentially it's two people in the middle of the ocean surrounded by sharks. And it's really scary. It's really good. What about that lovely Blake Lively movie that came out earlier this year, The Shallows?
I have not seen that either.
It's good.
Isn't she just stuck on a rock?
Yeah, and she can't leave the rock because the shark's going to kill her.
At least she's on a rock.
Well, not really, because the tide's coming in, and that's what the movie's about.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, the tide's coming in. But she does have a seagull to be her friend. She's on the rock with a lovely little seagull.
Did she do a musical number?
No musical number. She's really good in that movie. I happen to love Blake Lively because, you know, Gossip Girl. But she's actually really, really good in that movie. It's a terrific suspense performance. Really good stuff. All right, Rich, thanks, man. Here's Patrick on WGN. Hey, Patrick.
Hey, Nick. Good morning. How are you, man?
Hey, by the way, let me just tell you, the Godzilla movie rules.
Yeah, you've been saying, and rules. I gotta wait for it to come out on DVD, don't I?
Oh man, I don't know if they do a re-release. Music Box might bring it back for a midnight show, but man, it is so awesome. You're gonna lose your mind.
Let me ask you something about that. As I'm watching it, I'm looking at the trailers. It reminds me of another movie because it supposedly has an environmental theme to it.
Yep, it does.
And as I'm watching the metamorphosis, I'm reminded of Godzilla versus the Smog Monster.
It's
because that movie had an environmental theme to it as well.
Well, so did the original. Yeah. You know, I mean, when you're doing sort of like, you know, you got the silly Godzilla movies where they're jumping around and fighting each other and, you know, Mothra and all that stuff. But then what the serious science fiction, let's make a statement Godzilla movies are always about something. And this is in that category. This falls into that category. And,
really?
And he's got the longest tail of any Godzilla ever made.
Like he's also got the craziest it's like radioactive. Yeah. Radioactive is coming out of every orifice of his body.
It's phenomenal. It's phenomenal. All right, what were you calling about, Patrick?
Oh, my horror movie picks. I told Dan I think I mentioned this to you before. 1968, the original Night of the Living Dead, floors me every time. That movie, I saw that movie. I think I was 15, and I was home alone on a Saturday afternoon. It was cloudy outside. I watched it on Channel 50, and I just sat in silence, and I don't know what it is.
Having just seen it a couple of weeks ago at the Horror Fest that Flashback Weekend put together that I hosted, having just seen it for the first time ever on the big screen. I had never seen it on the big screen. I saw it at the drive-in when I was a kid. But
but
we showed it on the big screen. It was the very first movie of the Horror Fest, of the 12-hour Horror Fest.
I remember that. Yes, I do remember you saying that.
And we watched it on the big screen. That movie is as effective now as it was in 68.
I don't know what it is. It just floors me every time. And I'm a huge fan of The Walking Dead. That doesn't bother me.
Yeah.
But any George Romero zombie film, except for Survival of the Dead.
Yeah.
All of them freak me out.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is about his style. It freaks me out.
Yeah.
Oh, and real quick, because I know you got to go. You ever heard of a film called Vampire Circus?
Oh, yeah. Vampire Circus rules.
The thing that got me about that Vampire is if you remember Circus, in the first 5 minutes, he kills a 7-year-old girl.
Peter Cushing is in Vampire Circus.
Is he?
Yeah. That movie rules.
Oh, I was going to bring this. I was going to call when you were talking about Peter Cushing and the Hammer films. Did you know that Peter Hammer and Shaw Brothers Studios got together and they did that crazy Seven Brothers New Dracula?
It's phenomenal. Peter Cushing is in that. That movie rules.
Exactly. That's why I brought that up. You were talking about Peter Cushing.
Yeah, it's awesome. Patrick, I got to run. I got to hit the news.
All right, you guys have a great
take
morning.
Take care, buddy. Take care. All right, we got to take a break here for the news, and we'll come back. We'll talk more horror movies in honor of Halloween leading up to our spooktacular tomorrow.
A werewolf once tore his own hide to find out just what was inside.
Triple Play Thursday. It's the Cool Ghoul with Igor. All right. Yeah. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. How you doing, everybody? Nick DiGilio here. We are live in the Allstate studio on the 7th floor of the Trib Tower. Here till 5 o'clock. Steve Grzanich at 5 o'clock with the opening bell. and my buddy Steve Cochran at 6 for your morning drive. We're talking horror movies and stuff that scares you and movie gimmicks and all that cool stuff. You can get Matinee on DVD. It is available on the DVDs, and you should see it if you haven't seen it. It's a great movie. All right, we got texts coming in. All right. 773 area code says, "The witch rules, Nick." I know. Esmeralda, you see the shirt I'm wearing?
I do. I see it.
That's my friend Black Phillip.
Mm-hmm.
"Wouldst thou like to live deliciously?" That's so good. This shirt, by the way, was a smash hit at the Flashback convention.
I'm sure.
People were like, "Dude, where'd you get that shirt, man?" That's what the people sound like who go to Flashback convention.
They
just
kind of
walk around
right.
Going, "Dude, where'd you get that Black Phillip shirt, man?"
I would think, yes. Sounds accurate.
Todd says, "As far as horror movie goes, how about Teeth?" Oh, boy.
That one's not really scary.
No.
It isn't to me, at least.
Are you familiar with the movie? You've seen it?
Yep.
Dan, do you know what Teeth is about?
I know the concept, yes.
Uh-huh.
It's more like, you get him.
Well, it's a terrific movie.
Yeah.
And it is about misogyny and very emasculated men.
Mm-hmm.
Literally. It's a woman has teeth where she shouldn't have them.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I don't think it's a horror movie. I think it's a satire, and it's got elements that make I think both sexes uncomfortable.
Yeah, it's kind of gory, but it's not. Like,
no, it's gory.
Oh my god,
it's gory. Yeah, I wouldn't say it was a horror movie. I like it. It's good, original, very original. So yeah, it's interesting that do you find it pro feminist, that movie?
No, I just, because she's like, yeah, I'm going to revenge on everyone.
Yeah. Well, because I have teeth where they.
Specific people.
Right. It's a good movie, though. All right. 331 area code says Reanimator and Return of the Living Dead are my two favorites. Those are great movies. Great movies. Return of the Living Dead, punk rock zombie movie. And very funny. Really funny. From 1985. 773 area code says, "I've seen the Spanish version of Dracula, and I agree, and not because I'm Mexican."
We could totally tell from that text.
the second or the night crew, what they did was the night crew observed the American directors, actors, and then they fine-tuned the acting.
Oh.
Yeah.
Look at that.
That's how I felt about it when I watched it, because there's a lot of overacting in the original Dracula. I mean, that was like the style then, especially Lugosi, because he played the part on stage, and he barely adjusted his performance, because when you perform on stage, it's different than in a movie.
Yeah.
When you perform on stage, you're playing to the back of the house. You got to be bigger.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't alter that at all. You know, even during close-ups, you know, like, it's like there's, and it's a fantastic performance. It's a legendary, iconic performance in the history of horror films. But there's no subtlety to it whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
In the Spanish version, the dude who plays Dracula pulls it way back. It's great. It's really great. Danny says, "The original Carnival of Souls." Oh, that's a creepy-ass movie. You ever see that movie?
Nope.
Oh. I remember watching it on Svengoolie on a small black-and-white TV, and it freaked me out as a kid. I can understand that.
I just love any time you go, "That's really scary. You've seen it." I'm like, no.
Yeah, you don't
you
see
think
the scary.
It's scary, Nick.
You don't see the scary stuff. Yeah, Carnival of Souls is a creepy movie.
You think things are creepy and scary. I'm like, no, that's kind of, probably shouldn't see it.
262 says, "The Vincent Price Dr. Fibes movies are great." Yes, they are. You familiar with Dr. Fibes?
I'm not.
Oh, my God. I made two Fibes movies. They both rule.
I don't think I've ever seen a Vincent Price movie.
What?
Yeah, no. I don't think I have.
Oh, man. Legend. You got to see some Price. A lot of his stuff you can watch.
Yeah, it's like B-movie.
Yeah. I mean, you know what you start with? Start with Mask of the Red Death.
Okay.
Based on the Edgar Allan Poe story, Roger Corman directed. It's in the 60s. It's creepy, but like not in that way. You know what I mean? You can handle it. And then The Tomb of Ligeia, which is another of the Edgar Allan Poe, Roger. Because they made a series of movies that Corman produced and directed, Vincent Price played in. They were based on Poe stories.
Okay.
And they're great. And you would like them. They might, you know, like, ooh, that's kind of creepy.
Yeah.
But it's like mid-60s, late-60s, that kind of stuff. So nobody's heads get chopped off.
Yeah, but it's, you were like, okay, I know, that's fake.
Yeah.
That's not, ooh.
But you got to see Vincent Price. He's legendary.
Yeah. What movie, I saw this, and it was on this.
Of course.
And it was a Dracula movie, but it was, or was she Dracula? This guy brings back his wife, and he finally finds someone, but she's black. And, like, he takes her heart or something and puts it in his dead wife's, and then she becomes black. She literally turns
so,
into...
So it's a... It's
turns,
a
I think she's a... But she, they're vampires,
so it's
I
a
think.
It's a exploitation, a black exploitation movie
I think so.
From
yeah,
the
yeah,
70s.
Yeah.
Well, I can see there's a bunch of them that came
she's
out.
She's slowly... Like, she's white. She's herself right. In the beginning, then she slowly turns
Boy, they thought
black.
Those black exploitation movies in the 70s, man, they were
just
unbelievable.
Just correct me, because I'm like... He was... Yeah, because she started getting real funky.
Yeah. Oh, those are the best, man.
Yeah.
I'm telling you.
She started like... She's like, I want to go dancing and this and that.
Wow, what would that one be? I should know this.
Yeah, he like kept her around because she had died of
Anybody
something.
Anybody know? 312-981-7200.
Yeah, I didn't finish watching it.
If you're a blaxploitation fan and you recognize the plot of that one. My favorite is, well, Blackula rules. Blackula's fantastic. Blackula
yeah.
And Scream, Blackula Scream, the sequel, are fantastic. Blackenstein.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever seen Blackenstein?
No.
It's awesome. And then Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Black. I'm not kidding. These are real movies.
Yeah. No,
and you know what's great? There was a movie that came out after The Exorcist, because when The Exorcist came out,
mm-hmm.
there were 8 million ripoffs, like low-budget ripoffs. You know, people getting possessed, vomit, and head spinning, all that.
Yeah.
For about 6 years straight, every couple of weeks, there would be an Exorcist ripoff that would come out.
Mm-hmm.
The best of which was the black version that they did, the ripoff, called Ruby.
Okay.
Oh, no, sorry, Abby.
Okay.
Abby. Ruby was a different horror movie. Ruby was a ripoff of Carrie. Abby. Fantastic movie. Fantastic. And it was a black woman who gets possessed by the devil.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to remember the actor's name who played the exorcist, but he was in 8 million exploitation movies.
Yeah.
A million of them. It could have been the guy who played Blackula. I think he played the exorcist, the black exorcist, in Abby. Fantastic movie. I grew up on those movies, man. I saw so many black exploitation movies. It was fantastic, too, because I grew up in the 70s, and that's when they all the good ones came out.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, the theaters in the Loop that we would go to, though they most of the audiences that would go to the theaters in the Loop, they were black. And so almost every movie I saw between 1970 and 1980
mm-hmm.
that I saw in the Loop, and in the 70s, that's the only place I went. There were very rarely any other white people in the theater. And so I had that unique experience of seeing so many of these blaxploitation movies with a theater full of African Americans, and it was fantastic. It was a very interesting and singular experience.
Yeah.
You know? Like a 7-year-old, you know, a 7-year-old white boy who grew up by Wrigley Field.
7-year-old.
I'm a 7-year-old white boy growing up by Wrigley Field, and I'm in a theater full of African Americans who are going nuts over Black Caesar. You know what I mean? And I'm like, this is the greatest. This is that was my movie going experience when I was a kid.
Yeah.
That was how I experienced movies. Like audiences going nuts and screaming mm-hmm. back at the screen. I saw Halloween when I saw the original Halloween. It's at State Lake Theater, November 3rd, 1978. Uh-huh. It was the day that changed my life movie-wise. I don't know. There were probably 13, 15 white people in the entire audience, and the place was packed. And the State Lake Theater is huge.
Yeah.
Place was packed. And I'm telling you, everybody was – it was the whole talking back to the screen, dumbass, why'd you drop the knife, all of that stuff going on, people screaming, popcorn flying. I'm telling you, man, the experience of seeing those movies.
And, I mean, it makes it more interactive.
Yeah,
but it
was just so unique. Like when I remember as I got older, and I would see movies in different theaters, like in the suburbs and stuff, and mm-hmm. you know, in white neighborhoods, everybody was quiet in the theater. The people weren't screaming and yelling, and I was like, "What's going on?"
Because I mean, don't you do that when you're at home?
Yeah,
I talk to myself.
Yeah, I mean, I don't do it in movie theaters. I don't at all.
Right?
I don't.
Because
no one
does.
But
it.
There was this time in that period and that culture in the 70s, especially seeing when I'll never forget when I saw Black Caesar. I was probably 9 or 10, and Black Caesar for me is the pinnacle, the best blaxploitation movie ever made.
Mm-hmm.
A phenomenal movie. The movie ends with Fred Williamson, who plays Black Caesar,
mm-hmm.
You know, gangster guy. beating the crap out of a white guy who's the bad guy, beating the crap out of a white guy with a shoeshine box on top of an American flag. I'm telling you, just that alone, just that setup alone is enough. People were going nuts. The theater was just like out of control. Like with every smack of the shoeshine box on the white guy's face, eruptions of cheers would happen. And he's on top of an American flag. I was like, well, you're not going to be very subtle there. That's not subtle at all. But it's fantastic. Best blaxploitation movie ever made, Black Caesar. And there's a bunch of great ones. Larry Cohen directed that movie. Oh. One of the seeing that movie, and I'll tell you what other movie where the audience went completely nuts, was Conquest of the Planet of the Apes. Conquest of the Planet of the Apes. I thought they were gonna rip the seats out of the theater. Everybody was so insane at the end of that movie because they reversed what the first movie was about. Have you seen Planet of the Apes?
No.
Okay,
but
in
I know
Planet
the
of the
whole,
Apes. They the,
I know
people
the
can't
idea.
Talk. The white humans
yeah.
are slaves, mm-hmm. and they don't talk. And then Charlton Heston comes along, talks, changes everything. But the apes are in charge, and they have the humans as their slaves.
Right.
They reverse the concept. The movie takes place in the future, 1991.
Okay.
At that point, takes place in the future, and now all the apes are slaves. And they're being banned, you know, they're not supposed to speak, they're not supposed to, they just serve the humans.
Okay.
And there's an uprising at the end of the movie.
Oh, boy.
Led by Roddy McDowall as Caesar. And the place, I'm telling you, I thought the theater was the Woods Theater in the Loop. I thought the ceiling was going to crash in. Phenomenal.
It's like quite a movie experience.
And as a result, that's my second favorite Planet of the Apes movie. I love it. Just because of that experience, I had never felt anything like that. It was in the theater, I was like, this place is just going to blow up. It's awesome. All right. We got weather and traffic here.
Let's twist again. It's the mummy season. Let's twist again.
Yeah.
Like we did last year.
Mummy time is here.
You remember when we first started squeezing
the Yeah. Mummy time.
Let's twist again.
Boris Karloff, maybe the most iconic and imitated horror movie accent of all time.
Montepasto.
That's what they used to say on Match Game.
Those Transylvanians must be really mad about it.
They love it.
Like, we don't sound like that.
All right. We got more text here. Jay in Ohio says The Hitcher is my favorite horror movie. That is a great movie. Not the remake. Dan, have you seen The Hitcher? You've seen The Hitcher, right?
No, I don't think I have.
Rutger Hauer, C. Thomas Howell,
Jennifer Jason Leigh.
That's another one that Stephen Johnny and I would talk about all the time. That one in Near Dark. Two of the best horror movies of the 80s. Esmeralda, did you ever see The Hitcher?
No.
It's Rutger Hauer. And C. Thomas Howell is driving through the night and he picks up Rutger Hauer on the road.
I've heard
turns out to be a loon.
I've heard. Did they do another remake?
They did a remake.
And then
yeah. Terrible.
2000?
Yeah. Mm. Awful. They really, Siskel and Ebert really did a number on that movie when it came out. The Hitcher, they ripped it to shreds. They gave it like 0 stars and said that it was repulsive.
Oh, boy.
That everything about it was offensive. Meanwhile, I put it like at number 2 on my top 10 list of the year. 773, do you remember The Tingler? That was a crazy gimmick in theaters. Yes, we were talking about The Tingler a little bit earlier. Oh, here you go, Susan. Susan says, here you go, Esmeralda. Eight-legged freaks and Kingdom of the Spiders. You would hate both of those.
Isn't Eight-Legged Freaks kind of a big, like a silly?
It is, but there's a lot of spiders in it.
Is it what's his name? Is it Arquette?
Lou Diamond Phillips is in it.
Oh, is Arquette?
Yeah, David Arquette's in it too.
Okay,
yeah. And I went right to Lou Diamond Phillips. See, I go to the star.
Lou Diamond Phillips.
His best line reading ever was in the movie Stand and Deliver. You ever see Stand and Deliver?
Mm-hmm.
Where he shows up late for the class and he walks in and Jaime Escalante is standing there. It's why am I blanking on his name?
Edward James Olmos.
Yeah, and he's standing there and Lou Diamond Phillips comes in. He looks at the chalkboard. He goes, "Hey man, what's calculus?" my favorite line in the entire movie. "Hey man, what's calculus?" Oh, man. Anthony in Louisville says, the first Halloween. Yes, well, please. The Devil's Reign. Oh, Devil's Reign. Travolta's first movie, and he melts.
Like water rain or R-E?
Oh, no, rain, like from the sky. Oh,
okay.
Yeah. Ernest Borgnine's in it. He plays the devil. And it was
legendary.
I'm not kidding. It was legendary makeup. If you look it up online, if you look up Ernest Borgnine, The Devil's Reign, that was 1971, I think, when that movie came out. The same guy who did the makeup for Planet of the Apes, Chambers, who, by the way, John Goodman played that guy in Argo. John Goodman played the actual makeup artist from the Planet of the Apes in the movie Argo. And this was groundbreaking, like really great makeup for that time period. And he had fantastic horns, and he was the devil. And at the end of the movie, it rains, and all of his disciples, and he melt.
He looks like a goat.
Yeah.
He just looks like a goat.
He's the devil. He's a goat devil.
I like him better when he's doing the sign of the devil.
Yeah. You got to see that movie. You want to see Travolta melt, and William Shatner's in it, and Ida Lupino. Let's see. I watched The Devil's Reign when I was 6 years old, and it terrified me. I watched it 3 years ago, and I laughed. Nothing says horror like satanic cults and Ernest Borgnine. Wow, The Devil's Reign getting a lot of love this morning. Oh, man. Gina says The Shining. Yeah, classic. Brian says, I don't get scared for some reason, but Children of the Corn creeps me out.
Yeah, because it's children.
Children of the Corn being creepy. Rodriguez says The Children from 1980. Oh, that movie's hilarious. The Children. This is the plot of the movie.
Okay.
I'm not making this up. The plot of the movie is a school bus full of kids drives with the windows open in the school bus, drives past a nuclear plant who has like a leak or mist or something, like nuclear mist.
Right.
And it gets into the bus.
Okay.
And the kids get in, you know, they breathe in the nuclear juice. And then they drive into town, and when they get there, their fingernails are now black. And when they hug people, the people sizzle and melt.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
And children, all they want is love.
It's just children. It's called The Children.
Kill everyone.
Saw it at the Luna.
Do they start to realize that they have this
No,
power?
They're evil. No, 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 they're evil. They're going after people and hugging them and killing them because nuclear juice got in there.
Now, is it because of the nuclear juice?
Yes.
Or is it because they're just like, whoa, we can do this? And then they start.
No, they just turn evil. Because they're all like, you know, before they pass through the nuclear juice, they're in the back like playing, you know, they're playing like, what's the patty cake, and they're singing songs. They're happy little children. And then they pass through the mist of juice. And then afterwards, they're like a black fingernails, and they got stuff under their blackness under their eyes. And now they're like, and they just hug people and they burn.
That's got to be, is that what was, that's what they were doing at that plant? They were just making evil juice?
I guess. I don't remember.
They were bottling it for people? Evil
no, it's juice. It's the juice that those guys drank in Zap 2. That's what it was.
That's what it was. Yeah.
It was the super juice or whatever. Wasn't that what it was? Remember, you were the one who brought up Zap 2.
Right, but I don't know what it was. It was prune juice. I think.
Dan, have you seen The Children?
Nope.
Oh, classic.
I do want to see that now.
Oh, it's hilarious. It's hilarious. Aliens, it scared me for weeks as a kid, 630 area code says. 765 says, favorite horror movies are The Halloween, The Exorcist, Night of the Living Dead, The Shining, Blair Witch Project, and the Universal Classics. All good. Paulie brings up Phantasm. I haven't talked much about Phantasm this year. Over the
not
past few weeks,
I say.
Over the past few weeks, have I mentioned Phantasm at all? Or no?
You just leave it in the corner.
Yeah, yeah.
Poor Phantasm.
Andy says, Nick, don't forget to include Mel Torme's song. Monsters are such interesting people for your spooktacular tomorrow.
Is that a thing?
Mel Torme.
I know, but the song.
Monsters are such interesting people. It's a song by Mel Torme.
I only know this because of and I've probably talked about this before, the Looney Tunes, where where Bugs Bunny meets the monster.
Yeah.
And he does like the hair salon with him.
Yeah.
And he's like, monsters are such interesting people. You meet such interesting, do interesting things.
Is that the one where he's playing the piano and the guy, it's like the Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde thing?
Yeah.
He's the little.
I think so, yeah.
It's called Hide and Hair.
Yeah, because, and then he does his hair and he puts in Dynamite.
Right. Yeah, that's right. That's fantastic.
And he's soaking his nails.
I love that. That's fantastic. I remember that too. It's fantastic. All right, we got a break. Esmeralda, you'll be here for the Spooktacular tomorrow.
Yes.
We'll get all spooky.
Oh, boy.
All right. We'll see you tomorrow. News is next.